Today on Older and Wiser,
what's more important, marriage or career? We'll reveal what most people say.
Most American men don't trust women in politics. We've got the survey.
Also, we'll tell you why almost a third of American workers are happy when they get sick.
Plus, the Thanksgiving foods we really don't like. You're listening to Older and Wiser.
Hey everybody, I'm Bob Bates in Los Angeles, and joining me as always, my good friend Susan Sikora up there in sunny and clear Petaluma, California.
Yeah, it's sunny and clear.
Is it sunny and clear? The air is clear. You can breathe the air up there. I just love it up there.
As long as there's no fires going, but we won't even get into that.
Absolutely. Well, this is the show where we dig around in public opinion surveys. Our first survey, this one comes to us from the Pew Research people. And here's the headline: it's great to have a spouse, but a career is even better. Lots of surveys have revealed that people who are married live longer, are generally calmer and happier and healthier than people who aren't married. But this question is specific in that it asks people, do you believe that marriage is integral to a happy life? And only 16% of men said yes, 17% of women said yes.
I think if you're in a good marriage, it's true. Your life is much better. I think if you're in a marriage that was not, you didn't choose very well for your partner, then no, it could be another source of stress.
But here's the main headline of this survey, as far as I'm concerned. A job or a career you can enjoy is much more important. 50% of men say that's the key thing in their lives is their career. 46% of women say a career is the most important thing in their lives.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I don't find that. You find that surprising?
Listen. A marriage is something you participate in, and you derive pleasure from and enjoy. A career is something that you validates you in some way. It tells you and the world that you are a valuable part of society, that you can do this thing and maybe even do it well.
I am going to assume you are a good husband, and I am assuming you are a fabulous father. Don't those things validate you?
Oh, I'm not saying they don't validate my ability to have good human interactions.
Because not everybody can do those things well.
No, and we want the comfort of sharing our journey with someone else. That's great.
Yeah.
But in terms of me personally, what tells me that I'm of value to the world, I get that a career is important. Maybe it's more important to men than to women. It is, according to the survey, but only slightly.
I think it's probably more important to more women now than it has been in the past. And I would think it's because the cost of living is high, because how many times, even if you're in a marriage and you've not been divorced, you know people or have friends or family members who were divorced. And oftentimes, one of the main reasons people split up is over money.
I would have to disagree with you on this. And I know you tend to go toward the financial issues more.
Well, because it's practical.
It is practical.
That's what you need at the end of your life to live.
But I think even women realize that after they've been married a number of years, that they were not fulfilled necessarily by this relationship with this man. I mean, they enjoyed it and they loved having the kids, but there was a part of life that they missed out on. And they have often regret that they didn't have a career. I could be wrong.
Here's the survey somebody should do. Do a survey and find out how many people have married the person they absolutely adore. That person has fulfilled his or her obligations to the partner.
Yeah.
Is still interesting after, let's say, 10, 15, even 20 years.
Yeah.
And also has a job or career that they really love and it's perfect. They go every day. The boss is great or they're the boss. I don't think all these things.
I bet the numbers are going to be low on that, don't you? I imagine that.
Yeah. Well,
interesting thing about this survey, teenagers who were surveyed actually have a much higher interest in career. 95% of teenagers surveyed said they found career to be the top priority, while only 47% included getting married. I don't know what that says. Maybe when you are young and you're looking into your future, you're really not thinking about marriage. You're thinking about what are you going to do with your life, career-wise. Taking yourself back to the time when you were doing talk shows and you were doing local television actively on a day-to-day, how did that fit into your life in those days?
No, it was pretty high. Because that's pretty much, if you've got a good job, and those were good jobs, most of them, and they paid well, that was the thing you had to have to keep going, because you needed the, you need your
needs. Yeah, I understand. The financial, I get the financial thing. I get the financial thing. I'm talking about validation as a person, happiness as a person.
Yes, absolutely.
Don't you think doing the work that you were doing and doing it well and being recognized for the work that you did, wasn't that validating to you?
It was, and I think it was less important to be validated by others. And I mean, I was certainly at a point where, because I did it for 40 years, for heaven's sakes, but I thought, you know, at some point it kicks in and you say, you really don't need somebody to tell you whether that was a good show or not, or a good interview or not. You know it. You know when you did your best, and you know when it worked, and you know when you didn't do your best. You know when you didn't quite show up as you should have.
And it mattered to you, right?
And it mattered, yes. I was 25 when I got married, and I was late. I was like one of the last people in my circle of friends that got married. But now all my friends who have daughters are getting married 33, 34, 35 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And they've waited because they put some time and some steam and energy into the career that they wanted, you know. So yeah. I think that's what's changed.
Interesting discussion. Okay, well, let's move on to our next topic. This item I found in the Huffington Post. The headline, not too surprising, I don't think. Half the men in the U.S. are uncomfortable with female political leaders.
I'm not surprised. I can't believe anybody wasted time doing a survey on this. Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I guess we need to know and remind ourselves.
Maybe we learned that in the last election. I don't know. Only 49% of American men say they would feel comfortable with a woman as head of the government. That's not very many. That's less than half feel like they'd be okay with a woman president.
I think, frankly, you want to know something from just this female talking? 49% to me sounds high.
You think it's less?
Oh,
you think some of the people, some of the men surveyed are trying to sound more more progressive than they really are.
With it. I'm with it. It wouldn't bother me. But there's probably a strata in there of that 49%. I don't know how many. I don't do the surveys, but I'm going to guess that there's some that said it because they knew it sounded good. It was the right thing to say, and it made them feel better about what their answer was. But the truth is, deep down in their gut, I'd rather have a guy.
Well, listen, before you get all uppity about it, 59% of American women also said they'd be comfortable with the woman in charge. So, you're only 10% off as a woman. So most American women do say they'd be comfortable, but just barely most.
Other countries do this. I don't understand why we're so far behind.
So let's talk about why. What is the image that we have of female political leaders that make us feel like maybe they're not up to the job?
You don't hear it on the news as much, but you do hear it in personal conversations with your friends. Things like, she doesn't look presidential, or who dressed her for this debate?
Interesting.
Or I hate her hair. And I hear this from women, and I'm going to tell you something. Years ago,
so it's a physical thing we look at.
Yes,
we are more judgy about women and the way they appear than we are men.
We're superfluous about what we judge them on, about things that don't even come up for the men. Christine Kraft. Remember Christine Kraft?
The news anchor?
And
she was a news anchor. She was a news anchor who was retired at 35 because she wasn't attractive enough or something like that, right?
Fired. Didn't retire. She was fired. And she said, nothing's going to change until women stop picking at each other over things that don't matter.
So are you trying to say that women are picking at each other and that they are most critical of themselves?
I hate to say it, but yes.
Oh.
I think they are. And that doesn't let the men, 49% of the men, off.
Is there a possibility that some feel that women might be too compassionate in wartime? She might be afraid to drop that bomb. She might be afraid make that raid on that place because she doesn't want to hurt anybody. Any thoughts about that?
First of all, yes. Okay. First of all, yes. I would hope so. I would hope that by now the men would think twice about dropping a bomb too, or whatever it is.
War where it's our national...
You know, I think that women can be as nasty as men. Not that that's a... I don't know if that's an asset. Maybe in wartime it would be. Also, there are women who serve. Right now there's a woman who is running who served in the military. So I think women are competent. Now, there's things that maybe a woman should not do. I don't know. You know,
what?
I think it depends
okay,
on the woman.
What things should a woman not do?
I don't think a woman should play football.
Okay. All right. I thought you meant politically.
Let me preface that by saying I don't think a guy should play football.
Okay.
I think it's
okay. Well, we're getting off topic. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
We're getting off topic here.
You can get hurt. That's the point. Okay.
Gotcha. Now, this was a pretty big survey overall. 22,000 adults were surveyed, ages 18 to 64 across 11 countries. According to this list, Germany and France were in first place. For their willingness to put a woman in high office. Mm-hmm. Germany and France. We actually came in third, which isn't so bad. The UK was right in there at fourth, I think, and Canada was right in there as well. So I don't know. I guess in terms of the world, we are more aware, more willing to accept a woman as a leader.
Well, first of all, that we come in third surprises me because of what we just talked about.
I know.
Frankly, amazing. I think it's, what is it? We believe in it as long as we don't have to do it. I do think, I've heard people say, can she manage? Can she supervise? Can she build relationships with countries, with people, with teams? I think we're judging women differently. Again, I would say a lot of women would agree with this one, and that is you have to be twice as good still.
Yeah, that's probably true.
As the guy. I mean, that's just a side note here,
I think this is sort of interesting as a side note that Americans are more comfortable with female leaders in the media industry or in banking or the business world. They're less concerned about women in those fields than in government for some reason.
Unless it's a female CEO and she's your boss and all of a sudden you have some issue with her and you think, oh, well.
All right, let's move on to our next survey. This one was, we found this in the New York Post. This new survey of over 2,300 Americans found a surprising 29% of people who like to be sick from time to time in order to get some rest from their day-to-day tasks and routines.
Ay. So what is wrong with these people?
That's like a third of people are kind of happy when they have to call in sick. For real. They're really sick, okay? You got a runny nose or you're feeling, you got a terrible headache or it's something that's really making you not be able to go to work, but it also makes you happy.
I get it, but I think it's, again, a sad commentary because what it says is if I don't feel like going to work, if I really do need what they used to call a mental health day, and they probably still do.
Oh, forget about mental health. Forget about mental health. Let's talk about you're too sick to go to work, right? Your nose is running. You've got a box of Kleenex by the bed. You pick up the phone to call your boss. You feel horrible about it. You just know you're going to be in trouble. And then you call in and you say, I'm so sorry, I can't come in today. And your boss says, you don't worry about it. You take care of yourself. We'll see you tomorrow. And then as you're hanging up the phone, suddenly the sun comes out and you feel so good because you've got the whole day to lay in bed and watch TV. I mean, come on, you've experienced this.
Well, if you feel crummy...
I know,
it's going to be beyond watching TV. You really might need that sleep because you really might feel terrible. And maybe that's what you need, bed rest. You need, if you have a call, first of all, you shouldn't be going to work sick because, you know, you're going to spread the germs around. Okay. So the boss is glad because he's not going to have the whole office, or she's not going to have the whole office out sick in the next 3 weeks.
Right.
Because you came in and threw your germs around every place, every doorknob and coffee maker around. So the truth is that it's better for the work situation in general, for the work picture. It's healthier there. That's number one. And it's more. It really is more considerate.
Of course.
But if it says to you,
it makes you feel good. That's what I'm saying.
Wait a minute. If the only way you can get off time because you're exhausted or you need a day off, we all do, is either you're overworking.
I'm not saying you're lying. You don't have to lie. Okay. Yeah.
You don't have to lie. Why can't you just call in and say, I won't be in today?
Maybe some people can do that. I don't know. I would imagine you'd need to say you're sick. Nearly 40% of those polled, though, say that being sick allows them time to focus on themselves, and it gives them permission to slow down.
Why do we need permission? That's my question.
Well, it depends on the kind of job you have. I'm sure there are many people who work at a job that is very difficult to call in sick to. You know what I mean?
I'm sure.
You're going to be in trouble, and they're going to want to know that you're really sick in order for you to call in. So,
well, what's next? A note from my mother?
They actually went so far as to ask people what their biggest comforts were when they were homesick. Mm-hmm. 58% said their bed. Of course, that's good. Followed by soup, 49%. Mm-hmm. Hot liquids, 34%. Mm-hmm. And tea, which is a hot liquid, 32%. I don't like tea, first of all. I don't need hot tea.
All right, we won't bring. Nobody's going to bring you tea.
Yeah.
Nobody's even bringing you soup.
Don't bring. Oh, listen, if my wife was home when I was sick, she would totally bring me soup, and she put it on a little tray, and she'd have napkins, and it would be like full service.
First day.
She wanted to be a nurse, I think.
5 hours in, it's like, all right.
Yeah, right. Let's go on to our next topic. This poll came to us from the Harris Poll. Instacart conducted this online survey to ask how Americans really feel about the big dinner. Now, the big dinner we're talking about? Thanksgiving, of course.
Of course.
They polled 2,023 U.S. adults ages 18 and older. So here are some of the foods that people dislike the most at Thanksgiving dinner. Number one, canned cranberry sauce.
I think the only time you should have that on hand is if you're going to have a turkey sandwich, you can't get cranberries in season. You really want a little cranberry sauce. So you slice off a little bit of that and you can kind of mush it into the sandwich. Otherwise, I don't think there's any. And even then, I still think if you've got fresh cranberry sauce, it's so much better. Any moron can make cranberry sauce. You may quote me.
46% of people said they think it's disgusting. I don't think it's disgusting. I actually sort of like the way it slides out of the can. It makes that little plop on the plate. I like that.
All right. Now that you said slides out of the can and plops on the plate, I agree with the people who think it's disgusting.
Green bean casserole was right behind it with 24%. People hate it. Green bean casserole. You know the kind with the onions?
Fried onions. Yeah. I've never made it. I've had it here and there. And when I've had it, I thought, everybody makes this. This is like right out of Family Circle magazine or something. And then guess what? It's good.
And why do we only make it for Thanksgiving?
It's a tradition.
Sweet potato casserole. 22% of people hate that.
All right. That would be on the top of my list. I almost never make sweet potatoes, and I almost never eat them. To me, it's either going to be a potato or it's going to be sweet. I just have a problem with that.
There's no point in a sweet potato, right? Just have a potato.
No, and then they add marshmallows on that, don't they?
Yes.
How much sugar do you need?
That's the best part. Are you kidding? That's the best part.
Oh, my God.
All right. Here's a shocker. Don't be disappointed, but on people's list of the foods that they hate the most at Thanksgiving, pumpkin pie next with 21%.
Really?
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I wasn't crazy about pumpkin pie.
Yeah, me too.
But and of course, the more whipped cream, the faster and the more you're going to like it.
But it's not great. It's not like a chocolate pie. It's not like it's just okay. It's a custard kind of thing, you know. I get it.
Does it feel to you like it's good for you?
Not really. It feels like it's Thanksgiving. It's something you have on Thanksgiving, but I would opt for a different kind. What kind of pie would you have instead of pumpkin?
Well, of course, pecan pie is good, but talk about sugar. I might as well go back to the sweet potatoes and the marshmallows.
Yeah,
the other one I like is apple. I love apple pie, a good apple pie, but not, you know, some junky one. I mean, something somebody made from scratch. I hate to say it, but a pumpkin pie or even those apple crumb things that you make. They're real simple,
too.
You know,
those are good. Big shock, perhaps, that even 21% of people find turkey awful.
Really?
Turkey. Well, there's not much to turkey, really. You know, we spend so much time and trouble trying to make the perfect turkey. How will we make it? Should we deep fry it? Should we roast it? Should we cook it on the grill? Shall we, you know, and you cook it for hours and hours and, we should order it in advance. And, you know, it's like a big old deal. And then you eat it and it's kind of like, it's kind of like chicken.
So you're right. It is a lot of trouble thinking about how you're going to do it, but it is a big drama for the table, number one. It smells good. It certainly goes with all the other things that you either love or hate that we just mentioned.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think it's, you know, it's turkey.
Of course,
turkey.
There's lots of foods that, you know, we buy more and more of around Thanksgiving. Instacart showed that the cream of mushroom soup purchases went up 59%. Fried onions went up 85%, you know, so in the 3 weeks before Thanksgiving.
Well, a lot of people make these things, again, because it's tradition. Aunt so-and-so always made this, or my mother always did the potatoes with the marshmallows, so I got to do it too. You know what? Make your own. One year, we had a couple over, and they didn't have kids, we didn't have kids, so we did it where we were, and we got, do we really want to do turkey again? We just all felt like something different. I said to them, how about we have crab? And it turns out a lot of people in the Bay Area, this is crab season, although it's going to be late this year.
Crab
and
giving.
We did crab. They said, that's a great idea. And I told two other people who were not with us, who had moved to Arizona, and they said, we're so jealous of you having crab. What is there a law in Arizona that you couldn't go out and buy crab somewhere and have it instead of the turkey? No, because they were with family, and the family would have said, where's the turkey? Where's
next
the
Thanksgiving,
meat?
I mean, we bring out a big crab. I think that's just the best.
You know.
The best. All right. Well, Susan Sikora, it's time for us to say goodbye. We're glad you all joined us today for Older and Wiser. Before we go, as always, Susan, what is your final thought for the day?
You don't feel well, stay home from work.
Love it. Well, we're glad you came into work today, Susan. And we thank you all for listening. For all the stuff that matters when you're 50 plus, be sure and visit us at olderandwiser.com. We'll see you next time.